Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. Excuse me. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening this morning. We also invite you to our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources to aid you in your study of God's Word. These radio programs, TV videos, PowerPoint presentations, sermons, articles, and other Bible-related material that can help you in your study and understanding of the Word of God. At the end of this broadcast, we'll begin the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible and open mind. Let us show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. Today, we're going to conclude the study that we began in June on asking the question, what saves us, one thing or many? Now, I want to begin this morning by just going over and giving you one verse for every point that I've made during the last 7 weeks. I began by showing that we are saved in hope in Romans 8 and verse 24. We are saved by grace, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. We are saved by faith, Acts 9:16, verse 31. Man is saved by mercy, Titus 3, verse number 5. Man saved by works, Acts 11, verse 14. Man is saved by baptism, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Man is saved by the word, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 21. Man is saved by the truth, John 8, verse 32. Man is saved by obedience, Hebrews 5, verse 9. Man is saved by the gospel, Romans 1, verse 16. Man is saved by the knowledge of that truth, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. Man is saved by belief and baptism, Mark 16, 16. Man is saved by belief and confession, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Man is saved by the calling on the name of the Lord in Acts 2, verse 21. Man is saved by the washing of regeneration, Titus 3, verse 5. Man is saved by being born of the water and spirit, John 3, 1 through 6. Man is saved by the faithfulness, his faithfulness unto death, Revelation 2, verse 10. Man is saved by the Father, 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. Man is saved by the Son, Matthew 1, verse 21. Man is saved by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And finally, man is saved by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 7. Now, how can people just believe that one of these things saves us, no matter which one it is, and the others can just be ignored or just arbitrarily rejected? It's amazing. Some of our religious friends have scholars among themselves that tell us that baptism is for remission of sin, but they don't practice it because it's not necessary today. One scholar even said, concerning Acts 2:38, we know that it can mean that salvation is not by faith alone. It is for the remission of sins, according to Jesus himself in Matthew 26, verse 28. There is no passage that man is saved by faith only or at the point of faith. Many passages say we are saved by faith, and I believe every one of them to be true. Yet one does not say faith only, or I would believe and teach that. The closest one says just the opposite of that. In James 2:24, you see now that man, by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Faith only is said not to be enough, according to the writer of the book of James. Faith alone, or baptism alone, does not save a man. How can we just assume that we can delete any of the 21 things that we examined and read on the list and gave you book, chapter, and verse for, and still expect to receive the same conclusion, that is salvation? How can that be? Look at the Great Commission given in Mark 16 and in Matthew 28 and in Luke chapter 24. Then look at how the apostles carried out that duty. They went about preaching Jesus. It falls into a logical sequence of steps, leading one into Christ, giving one the blood and all the spiritual blessing that reside therein. According to Ephesians 1 verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Here is how it worked. Preach the gospel to make people believe in the crucified and resurrected Savior, believing him to be God's Son, willing to confess it before man, repenting of one's sins, acknowledging their sinful condition, and committing to another code of conduct, that manner of life that is expressed and given to us in the Word of God. Then an immersion in water, contacting the only element that can take away a man's sin, the blood of Christ, making one a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and it makes us to rise in newness of life, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. And it was done on the day of Pentecost, if we read in Acts 2, verse 22 to the end of the chapter, when the gospel was first preached to sinful men. And in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, it says it's putting on Christ, and we are to walk in newness of life. In Acts 22, 16, we examined last week that it washes away a man's sins. How much easier could it be? How much easier could God have made it? Look at the cases of conversion in the book of Acts. Compare with the message of the Great Commission and compare it with our list. The Jews of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved, Acts 2, 41 through 47. More Jews in Acts 3, 14 through 19. The Samaritans in Acts 8, verse 12 and 13. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, 29 and following. Saul of Tarsus conversion in Acts 9, 1 through 6 and retold in Acts chapter 22 and 26. The conversion of the first Gentile, Cornelius, in Acts 10 and verse 11. Lydia, the seller of purple from Thyatira, Acts 16, 12 through 15. The Corinthians in Acts 8 and verse 12. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16, 25 through 34. And the Ephesian in Acts 19, verse 1 through 5. If one is honest, and that's really important, if one is honest and he is open-minded, he will see the series of steps which are necessary for one to gain entrance into the household of God, the family of God, the kingdom of God, the church. Doing this makes people just one thing. It did then, it does now. It only makes them a Christian. It can't make you a hyphenated Christian. Can't make you a Mormon Christian, a Jehovah's Witness Christian, or a Presbyterian Christian. It just makes you a Christian. Bottom line, that's all the Bible can produce. The only seed that comes from the Word of God, that is produced by the Word of God, is the Christian. No more, no less. Why not just try it? Why not do it God's way and let it work for you in your life? And quit trying to mend it to fit your teaching and your desire and how you see it. Trust God on this one. He knows what he's doing. And so, ladies and gentlemen, again, we ask that you again insist that you understand that what's involved in obeying the gospel. It's not just faith, as some would lead you to believe by John 3:16. It's not just one thing. It's a combination of things. It's a number of things that we've examined in the past 8 weeks. Now, here's the question I want you to ponder. Which one of them can you leave out? Which one of the 21 things that we examined during this time, over these last 8 weeks, which one of these do you leave out and still end with the same result? And that's the salvation of your soul. Can you leave any of them out? I just gave you a few. Can't leave God out. Can't leave the Son out. Can't leave the Holy Spirit out, or you wouldn't have the plan. You wouldn't have the necessary components in order to understanding, and you wouldn't, the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't know what that plan even was. And what were you going to do with the gospel? What are you going to do with baptism? What are you going to do with confession and repentance and grace and works? You see, they all work together to achieve one goal, and that is the salvation of sinful man. Whatever any religious person puts the word only in front of what they would tell you that will gain you salvation, you know they didn't get it from the Bible. I have pointed to the scripture to show you 21 things that make it vitally important that they all be accomplished in order to bring about the desired outcome. And the desired outcome is salvation and hope of eternal life that resides in God and in God alone, and is a gift that he gives his mankind the opportunity to obey in order to receive it. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully as we bring this series to a close. Who would have the arrogance, who would have the wisdom to say that any one of these things are optional and could be left out and could be either done or not done, and yet the same outcome would always be the same? That it would always be that man is saved by God, and God is pleased and will save him. Such a statement is arrogant, it's selfish, it's ungodly, and most of all, it is wrong and inconsistent with the teaching found in the scripture. And so what saves us? One thing or many things? The answer is many things. Many things God brought, made possible, and brought into the picture in order to save sinful men from himself and from the wrath of God that's promised against those who obey not the gospel and who do not know God, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And so, there's a choice to be made. What we ask you to do is not believe it because we told it to you. And don't believe me. I'm not infallible. I'm not a prophet. I'm not inspired. This is not the Church of Christ creed. This is not what we voted on and what we believe to be the truth. This is what the scripture says. The book, the chapter, and the verse. I read them to you throughout the last 2 months. What I would recommend is go out on our website. You can download these 15-minute lessons, and you can re-examine them for yourself. And look at the passages. Read the passages. See what God's book says. And what we hope you'll do, and what we pray you'll do, is you'll see the truth. That you'll believe the truth. But most of all, that you obey the truth before it's everlastingly too late. It's your eternity. It's your soul. Do not take anyone's word for it. Not even mine. Look in the Bible. Open your mind. Open your heart. Examine what God says. And then make it